Well, that is fantastic. This is Jefferson Public Radio. Welcome to another JPR Live session. I'm Eric Thiel, and my guest today is guitarist Estas Tonet. Hello. Welcome to JPR.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks.
That's a little bit better. Hey, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Estas Tonet. You can find information at his website, estastonet.com, E-S-T-A-S-T-O-N-N-E, the spelling. You said as we were setting up today that you were going to perform a set of variations on a piece that you had already composed. What was the name of that at its base?
As it came, it's been many years ago, you know, I named it due to unfold, you know, my life in that moment. It got the name The Winds Will Bring You Home, because at that time I used to perform with a wonderful singer from UK, and she was just singing some words on it, and it's kind of just a mood that is always evolving and changing in a way.
There aren't many words with your music, maybe live in performance sometimes, depending on who you're working with, but we know you as an instrumental guitarist. Is it easy for folks who you work with to set words to the melodies that you create?
I guess it's the matter of a talent, you know. We all have different talents, so some can fit quite perfectly. It's almost, you know, sometimes we're amazed by the momentum, because at times this one piece comes and it looked like we've been practicing forever, and actually we never do. You know, everything that's been recorded so far, it's just kind of going into the studio and capturing what comes, and then we work on polishing it and cleaning, of course. But there are those that we meet. It's a matter of chemistry, I guess, or alchemy. Yeah.
There is a real talent in capturing live performance. A lot of folks are not able to do it well. The recorded product doesn't translate what they do live on stage. You seem to go into recording facilities with that mentality of just hit record and do what we do on stage.
I mean, there are, you know, it's a matter of a moment, as I said before. You know, it's there are so many components are playing with us in that moment. So of course it depends on how tired am I, or what's the situation, what's the weather. You know, there is so much involved into it.
How's your energy right now? Is it okay?
Well, we had 5-hour drive, but we're good. Straight into it, and life goes on.
You are originally from an area of the Soviet Union that we now know as Ukraine, but didn't spend much time there, right? You were just a kid when you lived there.
Yeah, I've never lived in the Ukraine as an independent country.
But you have lived everywhere else, it seems.
So many places, yeah.
Is there a place that you call home these days?
It's on the way.
I mean, I know you're on the road a lot and you travel for performances, but is there a home base?
Well, Austria, Germany has been kind of my place where I would go back to, but it's for now. Who knows what life will have in its pocket. You know?
I read that you originally picked up guitar when you were a child, but then set it aside for many years.
Yep.
What direction was your life taking in between childhood and becoming the guitarist we know now?
Well,
I mean, if music was set aside, what other things were you interested in?
Life. With all its flavors, so to say, you know, because I didn't know what to do with myself, as probably most of us don't know, because nobody receives the instruction what and how to be, you know. So we have to explore, you know. In my case, I had to explore the street. I had to explore the brotherhood in a way, you know, on the street, because that was present into my life at that time. So no matter, even music isn't played, it is played somewhere, you know, because we listen, we perceive information, we take in all kind of experiences, which at some point, if the artist, a painter or sculptor or any kind of people, all of us are artists in a way. And also in my interpretation of life, it's translated through music, through the guitar, through some writing as well, you know, through some poetry which comes sometimes. So it doesn't matter how long it takes to have a break, you know. Life goes on, and those experiences eventually would be expressed.
Did you take formal study on guitar or just pick things up and observe?
When I was a kid, yes. I studied classical guitar, but at that time my teacher, he somehow already maybe foreseen some sort of future, but I don't think he really could see what is coming. Mm. But he always would prepare some repertoire for me as a kid, you know, to perform all different dances from the world. There were Brazilian dances and Arabic dances and Jewish dances and Cuban dances and Spanish dances, all kinds. And then when I stopped playing for many, many years, I did listen to all kind of Cuban music and mambo and jazz and blues and gypsy music of all kinds and flamenco and all of everything pretty much. But I didn't really know what to play when I picked the guitar again. So in a way, I just kind of played one chord and I played another and they felt good in their connection. Or some melody would come. So I would continue developing and really playing by feeling. Mm. And that's still ongoing, you know. One after one mountain we have climbed, there is another one, and another one, and another one.
Yeah. We've had an awful lot of guitarists through here, and all of them say that it never ends.
Never
that
ends.
The learning process continues all the way till the end.
But you know, it's probably, what to say, lots of musicians, they kind of separating this being who is living in us, you know, in this body, and the music itself. So in a way, musicians would say, I'm going to practice something and then go reproduce that. But that's in a way a theater, you know. That's a theatrical performance where we prepare and then we go on stage and reproduce that same thing what we have prepared. Because life never stops. If you look at life, it doesn't stop there. There is always some sort of variation ongoing every day. Mm. So the variation of the song of today, of this moment, will be slightly, you know, quite a lot different to what is coming.
Yeah, tell me about how much improvisation there is in your music. I mean, you just mentioned that every performance is a different being, a different experience. Mm-hmm. It's a different location. Things unfold at a different time, a different tempo. Mm. But how much of your music is the core structure and how much of it is just created as you're playing?
It's always both.
Yeah.
It's always both. I cannot say really in percentages what would be the amount of it. But
it's different each time, probably.
It's different each time, but the theme, it's there. You know, like the motif, the kind of like the essence of it, it's there. But the variation of it will be different every time, of course. And the dynamic as well.
In addition to the guitar, which from the distance that I'm standing looks like it is strung with nylon strings, there is also an assortment of electronics near your feet that have given you a very distinctive sound. How did you first start experimenting with pedals and things of that sort and end up with the sound that we hear on your performances and recordings?
You know, when I started to play in New York, just started after many, many years.
And was this on the street?
It was on the street.
Sort of busking?
Yeah, sort of, quite a lot of sort of busking. But at that time I used like a tiny little amp, which was like a mono amp. It had no effects, it had nothing on it. And my second amp, which I've got already when I was in California, there was a Crate Limo, which would have the built-in reverb. Mm. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's the sound I already could hear, but I couldn't find it. So that became my reference point to the sound which I resonated with. And though everyone always been saying too much reverb, too much this, too much that, you know, but that's my sound.
Yeah.
And over the years, I was discovering all kinds of different toys which we have in the Library of Humanity. and I'm still improvising with that. I like the textures of sound. So I use some pedals which would bring some sort of a flavor into the sound experience, so-called concert, right? But I don't stay there for too long. I like to play with them like I would play with colors, you know? And the thing is, all of it is life. So it's nothing prepared. We do use some sounds of nature during the concerts, but the sounds of the guitar is pretty much I'm playing with, because that's interesting. Yeah.
It's been an interesting thing over the years as I've watched a lot of different street performers do what they can to grab people's attention. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a unique or interesting sound is what does it and then draws them into the conversation that you're going to have with them musically.
Not really for me, not. No, I played about 10 years on the street without any effects, with nothing.
Really?
It was only reverb, like reverb inside the amp.
Yeah.
It was a tuner and equalizer.
And that's it.
That's it for years. Oh. Until I discovered TC Electronic and then I was home. You know, but it took many years. Hmm.
One aspect of your music has been this very adept online component. Mm-hmm. Videos on YouTube, one of them over 50 million views?
Well, nobody's perfect.
It's an incredible number. Mm. Are you surprised by that level of success or interest?
I mean, it's interesting, right? Because some musicians will think they need to play something super fast, super technical, super duper beautiful, and you know, and to get that attention. And in the case of the Golden Dragon song, it's a very slow intro, and yes, you have the aerial shot of people gathering on the street. It was in the festival in Germany, and who knew in that moment? You know, I know that every time I give 100%, and you never know what will explode in a way online. You know, we live in a weird time regarding this technology.
It is definitely hard to know what's going to explode.
But that particular song had quite an experience. You know, that was quite a transformation for me. And maybe somehow those that are watching and listening to it, they kind of can resonate with that without even understanding what is happening there. Mm.
You have given away a fair bit of music through your website. You ask for donations of people who are interested. Was that a conscious decision from the outset of your professional career to just go at it in a different way?
Yeah, we do both. We actually have available music through the website, through the Bandcamp, and through the iTunes. So at some point I felt that it should be available for those that don't have credit cards, let's say. Yeah. And of course, if you really want to dig the internet and find where are those recordings, there are lots of possibilities for that. But I felt it should be also released through us, through our little company of friends who are dealing with all of this material. Yeah. So in a way, I think it should be available as both qualities, as paid, as donation-based, because I played on the street for many years and I've seen that. You know, some had money, some didn't have money, you know, and the CDs were still going and the music still had to be shared. Mm.
This is billed as your first official tour of the United States. Mm-hmm. You have been here before. You have played many cities in the United States.
Yeah.
What is different this time around and what are you experiencing on this first official U.S. tour?
Well, playing on the street and playing inside the halls, they have quite a different energy, of course. And in those early years when I would be setting up on the street and sometimes being like a rose, you know, where people just passing by, there was also some sort of a life education for non-attachment. Because even these days, you know, I could play a sold-out event in Europe somewhere, and then next day walking by and nobody knows who I am and I don't even need to be anybody, but it's quite a different situation which life was teaching me, you know, without being attached to these outcomes. But inside the halls we can explore some other possibility of a connection, rather being on the street and catching the attention or people that stop by because they were triggered by some sound storytelling, so right. to say, you know. But inside the halls, they intentionally come. Yet it's still quite often I see the phenomenon of people coming because they want to hear some Spanish guitar and they want to look at the man, you know, and all kind of reasons for them to come. But
could be worse.
All kinds, you know, but it doesn't matter because if those that are coming are gathering and they are open to receive some sort of different approach to music and experience that than just playing songs, which is also beautiful, yeah. But somehow life at the moment guides me to do what I'm doing, you know.
I'm so glad you had time to visit with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming by. Estos Tone is my guest live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. I would love to hear another piece. What do you want to do to wrap up today?
Well, I'll do a bit of variation on the Golden Dragon, but, you know, it's the moment of today, so it will
we'll see where it goes.
It will be different. Let's see. Thank you. Thank you.
That is Estas Tonet performing live here on Jefferson Public Radio, variations on a piece called The Song of the Golden Dragon. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you in. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you so much. Thank you.